you do not understand white supremacy, what it is, and how it works, everything else that you do understand will confuse you. In all of these nine areas of activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war, anywhere on the planet, minute by minute, day by day, all of the time, all of the time, all of the time.
I would like to say good morning to everybody that has joined the two-hour conversation. We're delighted to be able to present this program to you. Welcome to the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neil E. Fuller, Jr. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby, and trust me on this one, we are delighted to be speaking with you. Now, we would like for you to join the conversation if you'd like, and the number provided is 516-453-9921. You do that, and don't forget, if you do have something to say, press the number one button. Thank you, Blacktop. Blacktop just did. Thank you, so that I can give you the proper introduction to the world, I suppose. Anyway, that's what I want to do. So make sure that you do that. If you are a first-time caller, you also make sure that you do that, but you do this. You have a priority status, meaning that when you tell the call screener that you're a first-time caller, we have something special for you so that you can be heard. So make sure you do that. By the way, the person in the prefix 262, don't forget to give your name to the call screener. You can also join the chat room by going to blogtalkradio.com. You want to click on programs, and the program that you want is the Produce Justice Show. You click on that, and the chat room is available to you. Alrighty. And third, you can do this if you do not feel like speaking or a little nervous. You can Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, MRBOBBY at gmail.com, and I will get it and I will read it. I will let you know when you can hear your Gmail and have Mr. Fuller comment on that. Okay, got that out the way. Here's another important thing. The book and most of the materials that Mr. Fuller will be discussing can be obtained by going to producejustice.com. That is producejustice.com. I understood a couple of weeks ago that there were some issues in the receiving or the book, but now those issues have been resolved. So now you can get the book. I need to ask if the books are still available overseas. We do have a lot of people overseas that request a book, so hopefully there are no issues there. Okay, I believe that's it. Yes, producejustice.com for the books and materials that will be discussed on today's show. I think that is all. Let me check and see when Mr. Fuller will be on the Carl Nelson show. Somebody in our office will inform me, and then, of course, I will inform you. Thank you, Corey, for getting that name for me. Yeah, I'll ask about that, and they will let me know. And then when I know, then I will let you know, because I'd love to hear Mr. Fuller speak on many occasions. Okay, so without further ado, let me present the sum, Mr. Neil E. Fuller, Jr. Mr. Fuller, good morning, and how are you?
Good morning. I'm still learning.
Okay. Now, we have a special section that we have, the thoughts and expressions on the mind of Neil E. Fuller, Jr. Mr. Fuller, what is on your mind this day, being the 7th of May, 2024?
What I have been concentrating on for the past, I'll say, year at least, and I'm doing it even more so now, and that is, in the Northwestern Hemisphere, you have a document called the Constitution of the United States of America. I usually put, I usually include an extra word under the auspices, you might say, authorization. I just add an extra word. I say the United States of / for America, and then in parentheses, Africa, Asia. And because that's my perspective under freedom of speech. And within that same envelope, you might say, I'm doing that because I want the non-white people of the world and white people who have the correct intentions to go all out in using the Constitution of what is called the United States of America for, of and for America, which is a concept. It doesn't really exist in actuality, in truth. And no one, and I don't think anyone can prove that it exists except in the minds of people, the aspirations of people, meaning the things that people want to bring into fruition. Because you are trying to produce a product, and the name of that product is America. That's why people got to get it out of their heads. It'll take some thinking, but people, to start with, it's mandatory, absolutely mandatory. You have to get it out of your head that such a thing as the United States of America exists. It does not exist. It has never existed. It's an idea. Almost every judge will say that after talking for about 1,500 hours. And then they will say, well, if you're really just talking about this thing called America, that is an aspiration. That is something that people want to happen. It has never happened yet. It's a work in progress. Now, that's the cliche term that is usually used. Yet black people and white people continue to say, well, America did this and America did that. Who is America? Who's this mysterious person called America? Or persons, or group of people? Nobody points them out. Except just to say in abstract, yeah, we are all Americans. But you say, well, what does an American do? Well, an American practices justice. Nobody practices justice. That's a fact. What is justice? Guaranteeing that no one is mistreated. And guaranteeing that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help. That doesn't happen anywhere on planet Earth and or anywhere in the known universe. There's no evidence that there are any people in the known universe who practice justice. But in order to be an American, and by extension, an African, an Asian, you have to be a person who practices justice. And there's no way to do that so far. And you certainly can't do it in any planet, on any planet, while you still have something called the system of white supremacy or racism. You can't have any form of mistreatment on planet Earth, any form of mistreatment, and have America exist at the same time. That is impossible. But everybody just starts talking and runs right past it every time. But no court of law can prove that with that description, and that is the correct description of what an American is, or America isn't, or what justice is, every conversation has to lead to that. After millions of days of talk and talk and talk and talk. So if you don't have it, how do you get it? Because the term America is synonymous with the term justice. And how do you get justice? You have to guarantee that no person is mistreated at no time in any area of activity. And you have to guarantee, I'm talking about guarantees now. I'm not talking about trying to do anything. I'm talking about a guarantee, not a try. Lots of people proclaim that they're trying. I'm trying. But that's just talk. Does justice exist? The answer is no. Nowhere on this planet does it. But in order to have America or an Africa or an Asia, you have to have that guarantee. That's the only thing that makes sense. Otherwise, these are just words floating around out there. They're not attached to anything. Anybody can make up a word and say America, Africa. Is there a description for it? Do you know when you got it and when you haven't? What qualifies a person to say, now I'm a genuine African, I'm a genuine Asian, I'm a genuine American? When you look at me, you're looking at the real thing. Nobody can say that. By that definition, a person that guarantees that nobody is mistreated and guarantees that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help. Nobody has proven that they have that guarantee, because it hasn't happened. Nowhere in recorded history yet. It can happen. In my belief, it can happen. And a lot of people that call themselves, for example, Christian, they're saying the same thing on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is perfection. So it either is or it isn't. Say, well, nobody's perfect and whatnot. Yeah, that's the whole problem. Well, You can't be perfect. Why not? Why not? You don't know that. Nobody knows that. Lots of things say you can't be. It's been proven that you can be. That's an old slogan. Be all you can be. Which doesn't make sense. Be all you can be. That's an aspiration. No. We are already being something. And none of it is very healthy so far. The people of this planet are highly toxic. We prove that every minute of every day, shooting through school windows, tearing up the so-called Holy Land, waving all kind of banners, talking about it means this and it means that. Doesn't mean nothing except carnage, because that's what you're getting. Fear, hunger. So getting back to what I started with, that Constitution has a lot in it. That's why people flock to it. They're not flocking to other people. They're passing by people trying to get to it. That's what we are told, and that is true. It's not everything, but it's a tool. That thing they call the Constitution of the United States. Every black person and every white person who has what they call goodwill should be tapping into it full time and attaching it to everything else that they do. Selected parts, particularly the amendments, because that's what you're going to wind up using anyway. Might as well catch on to it now and announce that that's what you're doing.
That's the...
All right, if there are any questions now...
All right, Mr. I can't stay on this. Call back in.
Hello? Hello?
Okay, Mr. Fuller?
Again?
Okay, Mr. Fuller?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Okay, here we go.
I hope everybody else can, because otherwise...
No, I heard you. You were speaking and then got disconnected, but now we're connected again, so... Let that
Hopefully.
Intro finish playing. Yeah, we're good. Whoa. Okay. Let me get that intro stopped. Okay. All righty. Yes. All right. Let's deal with this concept. Let's go. Let's don't stop. Let's go to the top. Blacktop in the NYC. Go Knicks. I'm going to get you on there. Yeah, I'm a big New York Knicks fan. Okay, Blacktop. You're on with Mr. Fuller. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Bobby. Good morning,
yes.
Mr. Fuller.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my question. I think I've asked this question again, so excuse me if I have. But how do you talk to somebody who's non-white, who grew up thinking that they were racist towards whites? How do you talk to them when they honestly feel that they are racist and can be just as racist as white people, as a non-white victim of racism and white supremacy.
All right, Mr. Fuller?
You just talk to them and say what the truth is. Once you settle in your mind what it is, regardless of what anybody says about anything, the truth is the truth. So you just ask, first of all, is it true? Is it true, yes or no? And then ask, how do you demonstrate that it's true, or whatever. That's in anything. First thing you want to know is the truth being told. And if someone says it's not, it means that they probably know what the truth is. Well, all they got to do is tell it, and then you have a conversation about it. And how do you have a conversation rather than an argument? Keep asking questions about the answers that you get. It's a very simple technique. Anytime you are saying one thing and the other person is saying something else, you're supposed to be searching for the truth, not just a way to win an argument. So how do you do that? Have a conversation rather than an argument. That is, you keep asking questions. And you ask questions about what? What the person, the last thing that the person said. That's the technique. Ask questions about it. You might have 1,000 questions, but just keep asking questions. Stay in that question lane. Once you start what you call pushing back, making statements and whatnot, now you're heading toward an argument now. All you got to do is just keep asking questions.
Yeah.
The answer to your question, that's what you do. Regardless of what the person has said, just keep asking questions about what they said. They're giving the answers.
Exactly.
So you just keep asking questions. We're not used to doing it.
No.
We'll break out of that question thing and start making statements almost every time. And that will lead nothing to nothing but an argument. That's almost a guarantee. But if you have a person answer their own questions, because that's what you're doing when you ask these questions. See, they're owning up to the question, which means they're going to answer it. And when they find out that they don't have the answers to what is started out being your question, now it's their question, then you're on the correct page. Stay on it.
Yes. And if I may add to that, Blacktop, as you ask those questions, make sure in asking those questions that you give it the process time to work. Everything takes time to work and to form. So don't rush into whatever you are asking. Let it grow. Let it simmer and let it grow until you obtain your answer. Blacktop, thank you. Thank you so much for calling in today. Yes, sir. All righty. The number to get in is 516-453-9921. Make sure that you give the call screener your name so that I can properly give you an introduction. Okay, we're going to get in contact here with unappreciated black third grade teacher here in Ohio. Get ready, Ma. Get ready, unappreciated. Okay, unappreciated. You're on with Mr. Fuller. Good morning. What is your question?
Good morning, gentlemen. This VGQ is my shared thoughts as background information for the question for Mr. Fuller. I've noticed the changing terminology to identify the descendants of the persons enslaved from the concept called Africa and brought to the concepts called the Caribbean and the Americas. The changing terminology also applies to the collective activities, both past and present, of these descendants. The word Negro, colored, Negro again, black, Afro-American, African-American, and now people of color is being used. I believe Kwame Ture emphasized and popularized the term black, and I greatly appreciate Mr. Fuller's expounding on why these descendants cannot be identified as African or American because African-American does not exist, according to Mr. Fuller. As I conclude this VGQ, I agree with Mr. Fuller's codified classification of people, which is white, non-white, and white supremacist. Logically speaking, the term people of color can parallel Mr. Fuller's qualified classification of non-white, but it also includes other individuals who are not descendants of those individuals enslaved from the concept called Africa and brought to the concepts of the Americas. For me, the term people of color causes confusion. In the Word God, it states to use the word black constructively and use the word color or colored with caution. End of VGQ. Mr. Fuller, the question is the term black an appropriate codified term to use specifically for and only for the descendants of those individuals enslaved from the concept called Africa and brought to the concepts called the Caribbean and the Americas? Thank you very much.
No, you can use the term black to apply to anyone who has color in his or her skin, according to the compensatory code. But the broad term and more explicit is non-white. See, you have terms like black and brown people. Most black people are brown. Depending on who's doing the counting and where. But, you know, you see black people, we call, you know, in terms, hopefully terms that are friendly, a yowl. You know, when I was, you know, you probably got some people in your family who look like, in your extended family, maybe, who look like white people. But another term that appeared on a kind of language, usually talking about the Hispanic language, they say black and brown people. Now, who is this they that's saying this? You're either brown or you're not. You're either white or you're not. White people let people know right away. Those who want to be classified as white, they don't say that they're all over the place. They say, I'm white. That stands alone. Now, when you start asking them questions, though, people who insist on that and all like that, then sometimes they start giving all kind of answers. Well, I'm white, but I'm Himalayan white. I'm Aryan white. Like Hitler would always say that. He say, well, I mean, if you're really talking about white, I mean, you're talking about Aryans. Well, what's Aryan? You just start asking questions. Well, I mean, you know, Caucasian. Caucasian, what's that? See, all you got to do is just keep asking questions. And in answer to your question from me, just keep asking questions. When people start saying black and brown, or like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Okay. Now, show me the color brown. Because people might have... They might show you purple and call it brown. It depends on how people are thinking. So you say, well, what do you call tan? Where you come from? And you can point if you've got a color guide that's precise, looking at everything through a microscope, I guess. I mean, you may find, well, this guy's brown, but when you look at his skin through a super hyper microscope, he's got some orange in here. Wait a minute, and see, so where do you go? It depends on what you're talking about and why you're talking about it.
Yes, sir.
So we can get into all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the white supremacists will jump up and have a new label for anything and everything. They'll do that in a minute.
That's
I mean,
right.
They'll do it so fast you wouldn't know how it happened.
You're right. Anything to support the system.
Anything that will support what's already in place.
Mm-hmm. That's it. All righty. All right, unappreciated black third grade teacher here in Ohio. We thank you. Matter of fact, we're getting ready to take a break. Thank you, sir. You're listening to the Counter-Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller, and we are so happy that we can do this and present this show. And we thank you for listening. We really do. We really, really do. Now, we would like you to get in contact with the show. And all you have to do is call this number. And it is 516-453-9921. And if you have a question or would like to conversate, just push that button and wait until the call screener comes on. And give the call screener your name, and then wait until you are called upon. I will get your name and call you in. Yeah, we'll do that. So make sure you do that. Now, you can join the chat room if you'd like to. They have real good conversations in there, and all you have to do in order to join the chat room is go to blogtalkradio.com. You want to click on where it says Programs. Once you do that, then a menu will come up where it says Shows, and you want the Produce Justice Show. The Produce Justice Show. You click on that. There's a little icon. I think it's to the right. The box becomes available, and you can get in there. And there are generally some real intelligent and real interesting conversations. Now, I will say this. When you do get in there, and particularly if you are new to the program, please, ma'am, please, sir, do not ask me a question in the chat room for me to ask Mr. Fuller. I will not do that one. That's what the number, toll free, that is what the number is, the call-in number, and that is what my Gmail is for. But you can join the others in there, and occasionally I will select something that's being said and may form my own question off of something you had said so that Mr. Fuller can give a response to that. So please do that. Okay, secondly here, the books or a book. You want to go to producejustice.com to get that book, and you need it. It's like a, you ever, yeah, if you have an automobile, tell I'm old. If you have a vehicle, there's usually an instruction manual, a driver's manual in there that gives you tips and pointers on the various tools that are in that car that you know how to operate, so that you can know how to operate and where they are. If you don't have it and you get a new car and you don't know how to where the key is or the emergency flashers are or how to cut on the radio now or whatever they call that thing, you need to have a manual which goes through and shows you where these things are. Well, this is what this book is about. This book is a book of suggestions. Remember that, a book of suggestions and how to combat, how to confront racism, which is white supremacy. And you heard it right here this morning. Ask questions. Ask questions. And I don't think he said it this morning, but one of the things you do when you ask questions, don't ask a second question until you get the answer to the first question, and then you move on. And he may, Mr. Fuller may say something about that later on, but you want to do that because you want an understanding of it. But you have to ask questions and then give it time, process that, and give it time, and you'll be okay. All righty. Let's see here. All right. Thank you, Ray in Dallas. Yeah, I got you. I'll see you. Okay. I believe that is it. ProduceJustice.com. Okay. Today being the 7th of the month of May, 2024, let's go to a Gmail. This person does not want me to mention his name, so I'll do that. It says, hi, Mr. Fuller, I want to know, Mr. Fuller, your experience or opinion of, or feelings of seeing Malcolm X give a speech in person. The reason I'm asking is that in previous podcasts, Mr. Fuller, you mentioned attending a Malcolm X speech. Thank you.
Yes. There's an expression that goes right alongside the person called Malcolm X, and that is, people used to say, they had a slang expression, make it plain, minister, make it plain, because he did. That was a foregone conclusion. Malcolm X had a way of speaking directly to what is happening right now and maybe in the future or in the past, but he was very direct. Anybody who has heard his recordings,
mm-hmm.
you're getting straight dose. I mean, nothing, no ambiguity, as they say. And that's what people like about him. That's what impressed me more than anything. He keeps you alert, for one thing. He puts you on your feet. A lot of times they would have people speak before him, and everybody just started getting fidgety and nodding off and all like that. Malcolm X would come to the mic and blow everybody out of their chairs in about 3 minutes. I mean, the place would explode. Literally. That was mm-hmm. my experience when I heard him. First time
yes.
I heard him, I think, was in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I described it. I mean, people kicking back, jumping out of their chairs and kicking it back. He hadn't been talking but about 3 minutes. I mean, boom, boom, boom. Nothing but hard punches. Just like they say some prize fighters come springing out of the ring, out of the chair, out of the corner. I mean, and just everything is hard hitting. Everything. I mean, no missteps nowhere, no sluggish and dragging on and all this. When Malcolm X spoke, you listen. You listen. That's the best way I can describe it. No, nobody nodding off like I see them do with,
yes, sir.
I guess hundreds of speakers.
Uh-huh.
People
okay.
looking at their watch. Wondering how long he's going to be speaking, or she, and whatnot. And just dragging on and dragging. No, not with Malcolm X.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get bombarded straight dose. But
straight
in a
dose.
Way that sounded like it wasn't a bombardment. I mean, he didn't, you know, he didn't sound like he was thundering and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, it's weird, really, but whatever he would say, it would stick to you.
Yes.
It would stick.
Okay.
It would chase you down. It would chase you down in all the corners you tried to hide in.
Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. One of the, as a matter of fact, two of Malcolm's speeches that you can pull up on YouTube is The Ballot or The Bullet. See how that is much relevant today. The Ballot or The Bullet by Malcolm X. And also his message, the second one is Message to the Grassroots. Two excellent speeches by Malcolm X. The Ballot or The Bullet I have to say that slowly because some people actually do write this down, the ballot or the bullet, or the second one is message to the grassroots. There are also others, but those are two good ones you may want to check out there. All righty. Let's see here. Let me do this. Okay, let's go down into Dallas. Yeah, that fabulous airport. Anybody that knows me know I love airports, that DFW airport. But that ain't what we're talking about. We're talking about two-question Ray. Get ready, Ray. Here we go. Right to there. Come on, there we wait. There you go. Okay, Ray, you're on. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Bobby, and I can appreciate what you just said a few moments ago about letting things simmer and letting things build. I've had a hypothesis for about 2 years now that I'm working on. I have a question and a VGQ this morning.
Okay.
And Mr. Fuller, why was it necessary for the white supremacists to dominate, control, and manipulate all forms of communication on the planet?
Because you can control people. If you control all forms of communication, every dictator knew that. Every Caesar, going as far back as people have been on the planet, a person who can communicate with other people in such a way that they get people to go the way that they want people to go. It's called influence, and some people are highly skilled at it. Lots of people know what to say. They don't know how to say it. I'm one of them. I know what to say, but I'm not good at knowing how to say it. And you can read my book, and I'm saying my book, I describe my book as one of the best of the worst written books ever produced on counter-racist science. Because I sometimes try to write in such a way that I'm not even in line with my own thinking because of the words that I choose. I could make things much plainer, much simpler, but that's not sometimes easy to do. I wish I could have written my book of what I call the fifth grade level, because a lot of people read at the fifth grade level. But that's not a put-down of the people. That says something about who you want your audience to be. And in answer to your question, anybody who can talk to people in such a way that people understand what's being said and act on what's being said, and anybody who has that skill or gift, whatever you call it, I mean, that is a prize package.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. The world needs more of it. Because everybody talks. But talking isn't always, for the most part, what you call communicating.
Yes, sir.
It's two different things altogether. Lots of people, millions of people talk, but they're not communicating. They're throwing words out there, and they're not sticking.
Okay. All right, Ray, and what was the other, you had a question, Ray?
No, I have a VGQ.
Oh, okay, go ahead, sorry. Yeah.
Yes, sir. There is reason to believe that every time a non-white person writes and or speaks, it should be considered an indirect declaration of war by the white supremacists, since no non-white person on the planet is able to communicate without not using the words, symbols and numbers that the white supremacists have allowed to exist.
Okay. Very interesting, Ray. Okay. All right, Mr. Fuller, you want to comment before we go to the next Gmail here?
Think about what I'll come right out of the code on that. When someone speaks or makes a suggestion, think about what was said and see if you find in it the truth. And once you find that, then try to figure out the best action to take yourself.
That's
when anybody says anything about anything. I say, listen to everybody.
Okay.
And everybody who's listening, just try to interpret what was being said and see how it can be used to do what? Two words. To get the constructive results.
Constructive results, exactly.
Constructive results.
All right, two questions, Ray. Appreciate you, man. Really do. Thank you so much. This is on a redirect. By the way, the person in the phone prefix of 757, please give your name to the call screener so I can get you on the screen here. Your number is up, but your name isn't. This is a readdress, Mr. Fuller. We spoke about this a couple of weeks ago when we didn't have any problems. But anyway, this was... Well, I'll just read this Gmail to you. It says, remember, you've already addressed this, but somebody wrote again about this. So here was the Gmail. It said, Dear Mr. Fuller, Mr. Bobby, a suspected white supremacist racist by the name of Maxwell Anderson is charged with the murder and dismemberment of a 19-year-old black female named Sade Robinson in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He took her on a first date on April the 1st, and she was never seen alive again. Mr. Fuller, I, for one, as a black man, feel traumatized, outraged, and helpless to protect the black female. I feel like I want to enact maximum emergency compensatory action. Please express what we need to do and not do in regards to this terroristic murder, as well as advice about black females, quote, dating, end of quote, white men.
You just continue the course, because we're in a war. See, black people in general don't look at this as that we're in a war. In a war, you expect these things to happen. You don't let that leave your mind for 2 seconds. And all of these things are ugly. But like in all so-called wars, people have to come to the negotiating table. That's what we're having this discussion about. But you're supposed to have your mind on it all the time. And to talk about this particular incident, these incidents are happening by the thousands, even as we speak. That's what war is. There's no such thing as peacetime anywhere on this planet. That's another thing we got to get our minds around. There's nobody on this planet who is here now who has ever experienced what they call peace. Peace means truth plus justice plus correctness in all areas of activity worldwide.
Yes.
That has never happened in recorded history. So when you hear about somebody being chopped up and body being dismembered, like Mr. Bird just a few years ago, not hundreds of years ago, a black male was tied around the ankles with some chains and dragged behind a pickup truck.
Yeah.
That's just been a few years ago, not far from Washington, D.C. His name was Bird, and his head snapped off. Just like what they call the good old days. That's what the good old boys call it, the white supremacists, on the beer-drinking level and using the N-word all day long, everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, fun, right. And glory to them.
Oh, yes, right. That's what you get, fun and glory. Okay? That's what they did it. That's fun. That's not anything that's necessary. They were giving him a ride, and they decided, you know, in the back of a pickup truck. And then they decided that, hey, we got him isolated out here. We got a black dude in our truck. Ain't nobody around. So we're gonna tell him to get out of the truck, stop the truck, get out of the truck, and we're going to tie his ankles with a chain through the back of the truck, and then we're going to get back in the truck, and we're going to drive as fast as we can down the road. And so they, when they made a turn, his head got caught in something and snapped it right off.
My God.
And they were laughing. That's just been a few years ago.
Yes, sir.
See, but we, you know, black people, we spending so much time doing our thing, all right, rather than thinking about what's governing our entire lives.
Yes, sir.
Until something happens, we get angry for a few seconds, and then back to what we usually do, which is trying to entertain each other with a whole bunch of nonsense.
Yes, sir.
Rather than waking up in the morning and going to bed at night trying to figure out how to get rid of the system of racism, and not only do that, change white people in the process. From practicing this thing called white supremacy, which they have inaugurated, not all, but those who are the most powerful.
Right.
And made it a standard for the whole world.
Right.
Including seizing some black lady and getting her isolated and chopping her body up. And then we got to stop blaming the black female. The black female is doing the best she can. Stop blaming her for anything. She was dependent on us when we were seized because we too busy walking around talking about being a tribal leader rather than thinking about the whole world and who's running it, including every tribal leader that ever was. Right? Look at who's running the world. How about that, Mr. and Mrs. Queens? I'm a great African queen or a great African king. Great how? By what standard? Get that out of your head, sir and ma'am.
Ma'am, you're
right. Oh, no. No, don't. Stop bragging. Stop bragging about anything. Look at this entire planet. Who's running everything, including all your tribes put together? Who's running? Do you ever ask that question? Ever?
Yes, sir. I hope my friend Dominique is listening, because she always referred to herself as Miss Thang. Whew. Anyway, thank you, Mr. Fuller. Let's go to Corey. Corey knows a little bit about this. Corey in Milwaukee. Get ready, Corey. Let me get over here. Wait a minute. Delbert, I got you on deck here. Let's see. Corey. Let me see here. Corey. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, Corey. You're on with Mr. Fuller.
Grand Rising, Mr. Bobby and Mr. Fuller. Yeah, that was actually my email as well that,
that
you just read, Mr. Bobby.
Yeah.
And it's the latter part of that question. You know, what do we share and what do we do to convince, or not convince, but Mr. Fuller, you speak in your book about us, until the system of white supremacy racism has ended and been replaced with a system of justice, that we should not, as non-white people, have sexual intercourse with white people. That was a central issue of what happened to the 19-year-old black female in Milwaukee. My initial question to you, Mr. Fuller, is can you please explain the master contradiction, that why it's so difficult to eliminate the system of racism, white supremacy, because they produce most of the things that we all enjoy? And does that include the sexual activity? And I'd like to remain on the line, please.
Yes, sir. Okay.
It's called being prisoners of war, if you want to put it that way. I call it, you know, the being victims of the system of white supremacy. But some people don't like it being said that way. Well, just think of yourself as a prisoner of war. The war has never been over. A lot of people said, well, in 1865, I mean, the slaves were declared free. No such thing as the slaves being declared free. No evidence of that. You're a slave when you're subject to an evil system. So the question is, are black people subject to an evil system? And the answer is yes. Well, what is the name of that system? It's called the system of white supremacy. Now, slavery is being a victim of any kind. If a black person sticks you up or puts a gun on you and say, give me all your money, like that's happening right now somewhere, give me your car, okay, you are a slave to that person who just took your car during the time that they're taking the car. That's exactly what you are. So this thing about slavery, get that straight first. If you're being mistreated, and the mistreatment doesn't stop, you are a slave. But see, we are taught, well, slavery ended in 1865. Nowhere close. People are being mistreated all over the world every day. Black people mistreating black people, white people mistreating black people, white people mistreating each other. There's plenty of mistreatment to go around. So whomever is mistreating whomever, the person who is being mistreated is a slave to the person who is doing the mistreatment. That's the truth. Don't let the words get in the way of the truth. Let every word reveal truth. Tell it like it is, as the slang goes.
Yes. Okay.
So you got a slave system
mm-hmm.
still in place called the system of white supremacy. It hasn't ended. But call it by the term that it should be called, the system of white supremacy. Black people can't, they call it everything but that, hedge money. I have no idea of what that means in all these years. we use all this fine language. Say the system of white supremacy. Can you say that straight dose without half-stepping? Well, you know, the system. Sometimes we just say the system and then cut it off. What system? Well, you know, the man. What man? Well, you know, the people in power. What people in power? See, all you got to do is keep asking questions. The answers will finally come out, but you don't want to have to go 50 years to get an answer to a question that could have been answered in 2 seconds. We got to always have all this drama. Say, the system of white supremacy, you got it all. Not America. Well, what do you mean by America? Well, you know, the people in power. What people in power? Well, you know. We got a lot of you knows. Just say it. The system of white supremacy. That's the government of the world. Period. Now, I either told the truth or I didn't.
All righty. You did. And we have reached the conclusion of the first hour, so let me close this out and bring in the second hour. For all of you that have to go, thank you for your calls and your comments, and we hope that you said something that's enlightening. Get the book by going to producejustice.com. We thank you. But for those who are going to be around for the second hour, stick and stay. Do not go away. We'll be back in 7 seconds. All righty. Welcome back to the second hour of the CRCS, the Counter Racist Coach, here with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby, and we thank you for listening. Now, if you would like to get into today's program and you have a comment or question, here's the number, 516-453-9921. Do that. Call that number and give your question, or you want to make a comment. You can do that. You can also join the chat room by going to blogtalkradio.com. And when you reach there, you want to click on where it says programs. You click on that, and then there will be a list of shows that will come up. And the show that you want is the Produce Justice Show. And you can get in that and go from there. I'm having a little problem with that right now, but, you know, it seems like we're having a lot of problems lately. We'll try to do the best we can, but that's how you do that. And lastly, you can Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, MRBOBBY, at gmail.com, and I will get your email. I will read it and let you know when I'm going to read it over the air so that you can tune in for. Hopefully you can hear me, because I'm getting some Gmails here and some comments there. Some of the program is not going on. If you can hear me, especially in the chat room, let me know that you can hear me. Person in the 254 prefix, please give the call screen of your name as we proceed on here on today's program. All the books, or the book that you can get, you can go to producejustice.com. That is producejustice.com to get the book. Okay, Mr. Fuller addressed a story, and I still can't get into the chat room like I'd like. Mr. Fuller addressed a story about a person in D.C. I think Corey was speaking about some incident that happened. But anyway, two people have chimed in to let me know that this person here, as soon as I can get this screen together here, then I can get up here. And I hope that you can hear. I hope you can hear Mr. Fuller and I, because I'm getting messages that you can't hear us. And that is not good. But anyway, for those who can hear us, okay, Talib, thank you. For those who can hear us, our loyal listener Cleo said this, wrote this, concerning what Mr. Fuller talked about, that person being dragged. He said, that black man being dragged. He said, please tell Mr. Fuller that the James Byrd murder occurred in Jasper, Texas. He said it wasn't far from D.C. Just wanted to help keep down confusion. Okay. Thank you, Cleo.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate that. Okay. And then, brother got more descriptive about it. Brother Lacey wrote this, Mr. Fuller. He said, James Byrd Jr. was the name of the person. On June the 7th, 1998, was an African-American man who was murdered by three white men, two of whom were avowed white supremacists in Jasper, Texas, on June 7th, 1998. Sean Berry, Lawrence Brewer, and John King dragged him for 3 miles, or 5 kilometers, behind a Ford pickup truck along an asphalt road. Byrd, who remained conscious for much of his ordeal, was killed about halfway through the dragging when his body hit the edge of a culvert, severing his right arm and head. The murderers drove on for another 1.5 miles before dumping his torso in front of a black church. Wow. And they show me a picture of Mr. Byrd. So, and that information can be obtained. It was on Wikipedia.org. They sent that to me. Just did that. So, wow, that's really something, Mr. Fuller. Yeah, dragging somebody like that for fun, glory, and what? I don't know if it really was material cover. Can you explain that part?
Who are you talking to me?
Yes, sir. Yeah. How can that be? Well, I see the what you were mentioning about fun and glory, but how is that related to material comfort to drag somebody like that?
Oh, the article that I read at the time, if I read it correctly, in the Washington Post, said that the guys were laughing.
Oh, okay.
All right. If I remember it correctly. I mean, they were joking and laughing, I mean, while they were driving.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back every now and then to see what was happening. And just kept right on driving. I mean, person's head snapped off and whatnot. And so that's fun. See, white supremacists say, hey, killing people, black people, is fun. That's the definition of fun. I mean, what you living for? Hey, you can't have more fun than that. And a lot of black people have picked that up right now, right here in Washington, D.C. Running around killing other black people and whatnot is fun. F-U-N. Capital F-U-N. All capitals.
Yes, sir.
Why are you doing that? Why are you shooting into the school like that? Killing straight bullets, killing somebody who's 3 years old. All right? Which just recently happened here in D.C., where I am. Why? Because it's fun. That's why. You can't have more fun than that. That beats anything in Disney World. Disney World is boring. Everything is boring. Now, killing somebody, that's fun. And getting away with it to do it again, that's even more fun. They got us thinking like that. That's what we live for. Walking around, you know, two guns, just looking forward to it. He better not look at me like he's going to start something.
Mm-hmm.
I got an audience now and whatnot. I'm standing on the subway platform. Yeah. And he walked past me and I'm going to walk past him and brush him and say he brushed against me. Tell him, better watch where you're walking. And then when he goes into his ghetto thing, I'm going to kill him. That's my plan for the day. Oh, yeah, there's black people out here who are thinking that right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to kill somebody that looks exactly like my brother, who's locked up somewhere.
Locked up, yes.
Along with my daddy. All right.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. Let's go down into Texas. We have a lot of people from Texas online here, but we're going to go to Delbert. Get ready, Delbert. And Talif, I got you on the line there, but let's go to Delbert first. Delbert, let me see if I can get this over here. Okay, Delbert. Okay, wait a minute.
Hey,
there we go.
Bobby.
Yeah. Delbert?
Good morning, Mr. Bobby. Good morning, Mr.
There
Fuller.
You go. Okay. How you doing? Well, now you're off the screen, but go ahead, Delbert. Is this Delbert?
Oh, I'm good.
Okay, go ahead. Okay.
Can you hear me, Mr. Bob?
Yes, sir. Gotcha. Yeah,
I live in Center, Texas, and
yes.
Jasper is a few miles away from Center, Texas. This whole area has a history of lynching terror. Just recently, Alfred Wright was killed in Hemp Hill. That's near Jasper, and his body was just thrown out. But that's just part of the legacy of racial terror lynching. And the Equal Justice Initiative documents all of those accounts of lynching throughout the continent of America. My question, Mr. Fuller, is can he go into detail and depth on the relationship between racist man and racist woman?
Can I go into depth?
Depth.
Did he say depth? D-E-B-T?
No, detail.
Thank you.
Detail?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Just anything that's harmful. The non-white people, and beneficial to people who are classified as white. That's what white supremacy is. It's three things you get out of the system of white supremacy. It's something that really everybody wants. It's just a matter of how you go about getting it. So they use a thing called racism that's proven to be very efficient in getting three things. Fun, that's whatever makes you feel good, you might say, to use just a broad expression. That's what fun is, makes you feel good. And the second thing is glory. In other words, you get a little distinction. Somebody looks up to you. somebody thinks that you're something special. So they get that.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody wants some type of glory, either a lot of it or some of it. But everybody likes to feel that there's somebody that thinks they're worth something. That's what glory is. But you're not supposed to. That's okay, but you go about doing it in the correct way. All right, and then there's the third thing, and that is material comfort. This is why a whole lot of white people, that's where we are now for the most part. A whole lot of white people want to do the correct thing, and they, you know them, you have lunch with them and all like that, you work. I see it. I'm not blind, and there's a lot of hope in that. But that's that third factor, comfort. Somebody expressed it many thousands of years ago. Oh, there was an emperor. I read about this some years ago, decades. An emperor was told, you know what? You could really become famous by getting rid of slavery here in Rome. And so the person said, get rid of slavery? We've always had slaves. They said, yeah, but you could become a famous emperor. Right now you're not famous. You could become famous by getting rid of slavery. People will think well of you. That's the second thing. You know, having people glory, all right, that everybody wants. He says, you know what? I believe you're correct. But then the emperor walks away from the person who works there in the palace and said, wait a minute, I just thought of something. And so the person says, what? He said, if I get rid of slavery, who's going to give me all this comfort that I got? See, yes, a logical question. See, and white people right now, they're asking that logical question. Hey, if I give up racism, man, you know, I might have to give up some comforts. I might have to, you know, rather than be worshipped as some kind of god, just be a ordinary person just working and helping people and doing this thing called justice. No, it's going to cost me too much because I'm going to have to give up that third thing. I don't mind giving up a little glory. I don't mind, giving up mistreating people for fun. But I don't want to give up no comforts. I live in a nice house, and I devaluate the houses of black people, all right? Well, of course, when a black person move into the neighborhood, my house gets devalued. You asked me to give up too much with this justice thing. So let's just keep everything like it is. I can understand that. And every black person should understand that. But the question is there a way to get fun, glory, and comfort by using the system of justice, which is a little harder to achieve? See, that emperor was correct. Hey, who's going to do the work around here? Who's going to do the heavy lifting? Well, hey, I got to have slavery in some kind of form. Nowadays, we do it mostly through paperwork. Like the black person moves into a house, that house, the value of it now has been cut in half. See, black people are finding that out.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're moving into a house now. You're paying twice the price of what it's really worth. When you move into it, or after you move into it, it's cut in half right then. Boom. Why?
Hmm.
Because the house ain't more, can't be worth more than you. And you ain't worth nothing. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see here. We've had a lot of stuff going on in here. A lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, people. But anyway, hopefully you can hear both Mr. Fuller and myself. And a lot of people call in or from Texas. The real Bible study has indicated that, see, wait a minute, Texas is and has been and always been the most racist people I have ever, that I have racist, most racist I have people who still live in Jasper, Texas. Wow. Thank you. Thank you to Real Bible Study. And Silly Wagon said this, yes, Texas is where the white supremacist type of chattel slavery came to die, but white supremacy is still going strong, and we are still under the system of white supremacy. Started in the East Coast and slowly trickled down around Texas. Wow. Okay, Texas. A lot of people from Texas online today. Whew. All right. Let me get my brother on here. I know Talib has something to say. Talib, get ready, man. I got you to sound, and the person, I don't know if that's you, Ray, two question Ray, but anyway, don't forget to give a call screen of your name. Okay, Talib, let's hear what you got to say this morning, my brother. Wait a minute. Okay, Talib, you're on.
Hey, Mr. Bobby, Mr. Fuller, how you doing this morning?
Yes, sir.
I'm still learning.
And I like that. Okay, Mr. Bobby, you mentioned a couple of things about Malcolm X. That Ballad of the Bullet was probably one of the best speeches I've ever heard.
Oh, yeah.
In my life, and I think everybody should listen to it. And don't forget the one he did, the House Negro and the Field Negro. That was a good one.
Hey, was that
too.
On the message to the grassroots?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But you can catch that little clip by itself. But anyway, one thing, I think I may have sent it to you, Mr. Bobby. People should check out, it was by this guy, Larkin Rose, The Jones Plantation. It's about a 12-minute clip video about this guy who was a plantation owner and brought his cousin in to do things. But people, I'm not going to explain it. You should go to that. It's called The Jones Plantation. And it basically tells you how this system works, where they make you think you're actually making something, making a change, but things are still the same. But anyway, Mr. Fuller, you mentioned fun. You're right. If you look at a lot of those Western movies, what do they do to celebrate? They shoot their guns up in the air. Also, if you look at the 4th of July, what happens then? Everybody's shooting. And then I got one question, but I'm going to say this. And you remember Richard Pryor did something. And he said he visited a prison, and he asked one guy, because he had murdered everybody in the house, and he asked the guy, well, why did you kill everybody? And Richard Pryor said, because he said they was home. So I guess, Mr. Fuller, you're right about the fun, and they teaching us, but my question today is, Mr. Fuller, I don't know if it's a question, but I want you to comment on this. I think you said you have children. I've actually witnessed this. But let's say you have a daughter, and I'm just going to use the daughter or some mothers. And let's say she's got a few kids by a couple guys, but she always calling you, Dad, I need my grass cut, or Mommy, I need this done or that done. I've actually witnessed this from one of my customers. And the reason I'm saying that, Mr. Fuller, because you say to help people that need the most help. But I don't know if this is a little ridiculous. And so the daughter told the mother, well, I'm your daughter. You should help me. She said, nope, you got a man, and he can't do for you what you need to be done. Don't call me. So, Mr. Fuller, how would you handle that? In the situation, if you had a child or a daughter, or I've seen some mothers who got sons. I got customers. We cut their yard, and their son, he's in there laying on the couch. So do you still help those people, Mr. Fuller? If that was your child, would you say, hey, you got a man. Why should I be doing the things for you that he should do, and you land up with him. And that's what I want to say today. Oh. And I know the chat room is going to go crazy because we've all probably experienced it. But, Mr. Fuller, if you understand my question.
Okay. Mr. Fuller?
What the code says, that's why I say we need a code. In order to produce a thing called justice, you help the person that needs the most help as best you can. Now, sometimes the person who needs the most help, and first of all, will be yourself. Because you can't help nobody else if you can't help yourself. So that's the first order of business. Get into a position as best you can to help yourself. And then you look around and see who needs help the most, that's closest to you, that needs help. And you give them the most constructive help that you can. And I emphasize, yeah, there are people who say, I need help. I'm a drug addict, and I need some more drugs. And you ain't helping me if you ain't giving me more drugs. No. The code says constructive. Constructive help. Put that word constructive in it. That's a different ball game altogether.
Yes, sir.
It's got to produce some constructive results. Being on opium or cocaine, does that produce constructive results? No. So you don't help anybody do anything that's non-constructive. All right? But you help the person as best you can that needs constructive help. And try to get them to keep doing constructive things if they're on that road.
Yeah. Okay. I'm hearing some background noise. I don't know where that's coming from.
The usual suspects.
Yeah,
always,
usual suspects,
I mean,
yeah.
That's the codified response. Any difficulty that black people find themselves in is the usual suspects.
Okay.
Why? Because you're talking about the white supremacists. They're the usual suspects. So all non-white people come under the system of white supremacy. So anything that's happening with non-white people anywhere on the planet, any time of day or night, that shouldn't be happening, it's the white supremacists' fault.
Okay.
Why? Because they're in charge of everything.
Yeah.
They brag about it. They
yes,
brag
sir.
About being, hey, we're the masters. We're the smartest people that ever were.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So
yeah.
Whomever is the smartest person has the greatest duty to do justice.
Okay.
That's the equation. That's
all
automatic.
Right. Okay. We got a lot of people from Texas on the line, but before we get to them and before we get to Toussaint, Mr. Fuller, Talif asked, because I didn't get your answer on this. Hypothetically, if you had a daughter and she had two or three kids by maybe two or three different people, but one of her men were laying on the couch and she needed her grass cut, and she called on you to cut the grass while her man, this is a hypothetical situation, while her man was still laying there on the couch, and he said that you said that those who need the most help should get it. What is your response to that? I didn't get that.
Constructive. So the question is, see, that raises a question. Is that constructive for him to be on the couch and the grass needs cutting? That's
okay.
A yes or no. It
yes.
Either yes. Is it constructive?
Mm-hmm. I see
and
what you're
he,
saying.
He, now, that calls for questions. Is he able to cut the grass? See, that just calls for a question. Is he?
Okay.
You know, he might be on crutches. He's lying on the couch. He might be in a wheel. You know, well, if he's lying on the couch, He's not in a wheelchair.
But, yeah.
But is he able to cut the grass?
Well, if you said
yes
might.
Yes or no?
Yeah, but if you said might, then he might. What
no,
about
no,
might not?
No, the question is he able,
okay,
physically able to cut the grass? That's the question. Yes,
okay,
or no?
Okay.
Is he
okay
able? Just check and see if he's able. He might be sick all the time. That's why he's lying on the couch. He can't get off the couch. He's so weak. Anything. Is he able? Is he able to get off of that couch and there's a lawnmower of some type to cut the grass? Is he able to get off the couch and cut the grass with whatever tool is available that can cut the grass? If the answer is yes, then that's the constructive thing for him to do, because no black person should ever be doing anything that's not constructive.
Period. Okay. All righty. Let me do this because I got to break quick. You're listening to the Counter Racist Culture with Mr. Nellie Fuller Jr., and we do thank you for doing that. We got about a half an hour to go on the show, so we're going to try to get you in. And if you'd like to get in, call this number, which is 516-453-9921. Make sure you do that. Press the number one button so that you can get in. Give the call screen of your name so I can give you the proper introduction, and we can go on from there. I guess that noise is from the usual suspects. Sorry about that. There's just a lot of stuff going on here. But anyway, yeah, somebody's making some noise here. But anyway, Mr. Fuller's book you can get by going to producejustice.com, producejustice.com. Do that. If you want me to read your mail, just do this. Go to my Gmail address, which is the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. You can do that, and you can also join the chat room. And the chat room is exploding. There's a lot of stuff going on in there. But all you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com. Make sure when you do that, then you want to go to the program menu. You click on that. And when you get that, you want to go to the show. And the show that you want is the Produce Justice Show. That's where we're at. You can get in there and you can ask your questions and get into the chat room. I've been picking up a lot of things in that chat room today, so a lot of good things is going on. I want to make an apology for all that noise in the background. I don't know where it's coming from. Mr. Fuller indicated the usual suspects. They don't want this message to get out. But anyway, that's it. Okay, let's try to get all the Houston people here. We got Chris, Cleo, Delbert, and then Tucson. Let's see if we can get everybody in here. Chris in Houston. Wait a minute, Chris. Let me see. Okay. Chris in Houston, you're on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead with your question.
Good morning.
Hello?
How are you all doing?
Yes, yes. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
Oh, yes. Mr. Fuller, I was wondering, when you wrote the book, did you think about the population of African-Americans, blacks, in the United States, the 13% we make up?
Mr. Fuller?
The question is, when I wrote the book, did I think about what? The African-American?
The population. We only make up 13%. And everything we may be going through may be because we make up that percentage.
I don't even consider that. See, I consider, if you're talking about government, period, you know, like people mention certain parts of Texas and all that, that's not the correct way to look at it. You look at it like the system of white supremacy, worldwide. Every minute of every day, That is the world government. And what is the system of white supremacy? It's a government that's designed to dominate and mistreat people who have color in their skin. And that's the only way you look at it.
Thank you, guys.
You don't look at it any other way, not West Texas and all this. No. System of white supremacy worldwide. That's the world government. That governs everything that a black person does. Neely Fuller sitting there on a telephone. I'm under the system of white supremacy. I'm a prisoner of war. That's what you are if you're classified as non-white on planet Earth at any time of day or night, regardless of where you are. You are under the system, the world government, world government, world government, world government of white supremacy. Nothing else. And that's all you are, regardless of what you call yourself. This and that, what title you give yourself and all like that. The white supremacists don't care nothing about no titles. They just look at what is. I'm telling all you dark-skinned people, all you people classified as non-white, what to do 24/7. And you better do it.
Okay.
Now, I don't ask you twice. We operate like the mafia, like the Corleones. In other words, we don't ask twice.
Yeah, that's what they say.
All right.
In the
white the white supremacists do not ask you to do something twice. They may do it, I mean, you know, just out of, but their code is, hey, you black, and I just told you to do something, and I'm white, and you are black, and you heard me tell you, now I'm not going to tell you twice. Y'all can do that little stuff among yourselves. Go back and forth. I don't go back and forth with none of y'all. None of you. I tell you what to do, and you better do it.
Yeah.
Because you don't have nobody to protect you. And if you, don't believe it, try me. And they'll prove it. They'll prove it every time. That, hey, you won't do that again.
Yeah. Okay. All righty. All right. Thank you, Chris. Let me get this. Cleo in Houston. Let me see if I can get you in here. Okay. Wait a minute. There we go. All right, Cleo, you're on with Mr. Fuller. Good morning. What's your question there?
Good morning, everyone. Long live NFJ and forever live Logic. As always, thank you, Mr. Bobby, and the entire Counteracted Cold Show team for your ongoing partnership with Mr. Fuller in this very important life work. Mr. Fuller, I'm coming to the culmination of a four-year journey in a doctoral program. And in that doctoral program, I often think of something that you've said in a lot of the opposition that I have encountered in trying my best to produce justice from a place of truth, correctness, that brings about the peace that we should be seeking in the world. And Mr. Fuller, you once have a quote that I admire that says, when you can't do what is needed, do what you can while continuing to plan to do what is needed. So, Mr. Fuller, I have a quick VGQ this morning, followed by a quick question, Mr. Bobby. And that VGQ, Mr. Fuller, is a dedication that I wrote in a 175-page document where it now stands. And perhaps the most salient piece of this document is the dedication. And it's this. This work is dedicated to those persons, past, present, and future, who dared and dares to engage in the struggle to end an unjust global power system construct of racism and replace it with a universal system of justice. A System of Justice as espoused by Neely Fuller Jr., wherein we guarantee that no person is ever dominated, mistreated, or allowed to be. A system of justice that guarantees that the person who needs help the most receives the most constructive help. Mr. Fuller, that is a specific dedication to you as well as all of us who are engaged in this struggle to end white supremacy and replace it with justice. And I want to say, Mr. Fuller, that DR that you correctly state are given to people as titles for which they don't mean nothing to them is so true. Amos Wilson, Dr. Amos Wilson, calls it distorted reality. And so this total construct that we find ourselves having been born into, living in, existing in, and many of us die in, is nothing more than a distorted reality. And so, Mr. Fuller, I was wanting to ask you, as I continue to listen to you and read a lot of the works and listen to a lot of the lectures of Dr. Amos Wilson, I hear a lot of overlapping, interconnected pieces there. And I wanted to ask you, are you familiar with the works of Dr. Amos Wilson, and has those works influenced you? Because if not, your work have definitely influenced him, because I hear it in the tenets of his work as well as his lectures.
I've been hearing the name Amos Wilson at least for the last 7 years. I guess it was about 7 years ago I first heard his name. I've never heard him speak. I didn't know who he was. But when I listened to the radio and all like that, a lot of people know Amos Wilson, but I've never read anything that he wrote or heard anything that he said, except just some quotes like you just did, just repeated. But no, I've never met him, never heard any of his speeches, never read a book or pamphlet. No. I just start hearing his name just floating around, starting with about 7 years ago. Recently, I've been hearing it quite frequently. And there's several other people, too, that caught my attention. I don't know how that worked out, but it's just several names of different people that I'm hearing that I never heard before. Just never heard of them. Never even heard of them.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay.
Just about everybody I talked to said, oh, yeah, everybody knows Amos Wilson. And I said, I don't. Well, where have I been? So that's the question.
I see. Okay. All right. Thank you, Brother Clear. Hey, and appreciate that information you sent too. The world is a better place because you sent that. Thank you. All right, let's go to Brooklyn. All right, Toussaint, get ready. Here we come. And the person in the 803 area code, please give the call screening your name so I can give you the proper introduction as I do. Brother Toussaint, you've been missing, MIA. Come on, Toussaint.
Yes, sir. You know, I've been working in the mornings lately, so I haven't had a chance to call in, but I'm glad to be here. Good morning,
yes,
Mr. Bobby. Good morning, Mr. Fuller.
Good morning, sir.
All righty. Mr. Fuller, my question is, yesterday I was speaking to a friend who was telling me that there are certain black celebrities who have coon tendencies. And through the code, I understand that name calling is against the code. And I tried to explain to them that if you're going to call someone a coon, you need to also look in the mirror and understand that you collaborate with white supremacy as well. So, Mr. Fuller, my question is, would you be able to reiterate why non-white people should not be calling each other coons, and the reason as to why, if you do call someone a coon, you have to evaluate that you may also be one as well? Thank you, Mr. Bobby. Thank you, Mr. Fuller.
Yes, sir, Toussaint.
Well, the code says this flat out. You call people, all people. I mean, we just go right to the constructive activity. Call people by the names and titles that they want to be called, no matter how often they change the names, etc. That's white people, non-white people, always call everybody by the names and titles that they want to be called. Some people, you know, a person might be waving a Bible and say, for example, I'm King Jesus, and I just got back. Okay? Well, that's what the person wants to be called. Call them that. Might sound weird, might not be true in the minds of people. Call people by the names they want to be called. Why? Because it's effective and it works better than anything else you can do. That's why. All right. Now, when people call you names, what do you do? You just listen to the names they call you. Just listen to the name that they call you. And if they want you to answer to that name, you know, you simply ask, are you talking to me? And then you ask them, what do they want? Regardless of what they call you. That's white or non-white. That's anybody on the planet, any time of day or night, anywhere. Call me anything that you want to call me. I'll tell you, like the code says, the title that I want to be called. But you don't have to do that. You can call me by whatever name you choose to call me or title, including the N-word, all day long, and see if I flinch 1 second. Check and see what my body language or whatever. I don't blink an eye. A white person can walk all through the building screaming my name and putting the N-word in front of it. I don't even look up from what I'm doing. See, we black people, you don't let words dominate you. You dominate words. I don't care what kind of word it is. That's the concept. That's the compensatory way. That's the codified way.
Okay.
Now, I might have not have answered the question directly, but I'm saying when it comes to name calling, that's codified. That's solid. Call me by whatever you think I need to be called in your mind. That's up to you. That's your business.
Okay.
That's not mine.
Not your business. Okay.
Well, I'm going to call you the N-word all day long. And I'm white. And I'll work right to the desk next to you. Well, go right ahead. That's
okay.
Up to you. That's your business.
That's your business. All right. Let's see. Toussaint, I'll put it this way. Here it is. The term coon. Coon is an extremely offensive slur for a black person. It is rooted in the racist history of blackface and comes from a shortening of raccoon. Wow. Blackface, huh? Fun, glory, and material comfort. Wow. Wendell, South Carolina. You are about to be on here. Wait a minute. Yes. Okay, Wendell. South Carolina. Good morning, and what is your question?
Yes, my question is, I've heard Mr. Fuller say that the white supremacists, they hoard all of the information through, you know, the education, through information, and when they give you the education, they tell you what you can do with it and what you better not do with it. And I wanted to know, can you, Mr. Fuller, give an example of that, or how they tell you what you can do with the education they taught you and what you cannot do with it?
Because they're the masters. See, when the white supremacists, don't do anything except try to make white supremacists stronger. Any move that they make, regardless of how it looks on the surface, they wanted to make the system of white supremacy stronger. Otherwise, they will resist doing it or just flat out not do it. They'll do it or not do it depending on just that criteria. Does it help make the system of white supremacy stronger? If the answer is yes, they'll do it. If the answer is no, they're not going to do it. So we got to persuade them through the codified procedures, and that's why I wrote the book. Ultimately, we're in a war. They'll kill us and teach us to kill each other. That's a part of the educational process. That's what they're really teaching. Teaching black people to harm each other. May not look that way on the surface, but they got a plan for what they teach us. So we just make a counter plan, that's all. That's why I'm saying I can go in any white setting and take my textbook, and I function very well. I always did. I mean, if you ask the average white person who has ever met me and they know me, they'll say, oh, you're talking about Neely Fuller, that black guy. I got along with him fine. The code does that. That's how the code works.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing full well who I'm dealing with. See what I mean? That's why we need a code.
Yes, sir.
And that's why I tried to write one. And I'm trying to have everybody else have a code. What does a code do for you? Every time you do it, it works for you, not against you. Now, every time, and I do a lot of things that work against me. Why? Because I'm not on code. And including invent that term. Somebody else invented that term. I think it was Mr. Bobby. He's the first person I heard use that. I didn't use that. On code, those two words.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Bobby, did you come up with that? You're the first person I've heard use that term. I didn't use that term, and it was on this program or the program previous to that.
Yes.
When
mm-hmm.
Columbus, Ohio, when I was under Mr. Kahari.
Oh, you mean when we were on TalkTainmentRadio.com? Yeah.
On TalkTainment Radio out of Columbus,
yes.
Ohio. And I'd like to mention his name, Mr. Kahari Inaharu. He helped me a whole lot, and I never forget this, okay? And the circumstances kind of changed, but I just want to mention his name. He's
yes, sir.
One of the people, one of the key people, who down through the years has been very instrumental and helping me the best way that he could, as long as he could, until my circumstances changed.
Yes, sir.
And I want that for the record to be known.
Done. Okay.
And regardless of how it may have looked on the surface, all right, I really regret that, because it may have come across to some people as being a form of mistreatment on my part. But I could not avoid changing those circumstances. Just like all black people run into circumstances, you just don't know what to do about it at the time. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in this position in the first place.
That's correct.
See, we don't know how to handle the situation we're in. That's why we are in this situation.
Okay.
And that's
all righty. That's exactly correct. Okay, recommendations here. Oh, you know I'm going to get this. Hell you talking about? Check that out. Jeremiah Wright. 22 minutes on YouTube. Hell you talking about? When you listen to it, trust me on this one, it was just like he mentioned it Sunday morning, this past Sunday morning. Hell you talking about? By Reverend Jeremiah Wright. Obama's former preacher there. And Talif mentioned this. I don't know how long it is, but it's on YouTube, and I'm going to have to watch that. Good information here. Called the Jones Plantation. The Jones Plantation. So I'll purpose to watch that. But this is what I'm going to do now. In the remaining time we have, which is about 3.5 minutes, Mr. Fuller, I'm going to give that time to you to speak about your book or anything you want to speak about for about 3 minutes. It's yours.
Well, I want to emphasize, see, because I come on this the air every Tuesday, but I want to emphasize that I'm not putting down white people per se. I'm putting down the system of white supremacy, all right, even though it takes white people in order to make this system. And I'm saying the goal is still to have peace on earth, like
yes,
people sing about and pray about and all this all the time. But that is the ultimate goal. And black people shouldn't have a goal of just saying being strong black people. And some black people say black people being supreme, triumphant. No, we should be universal people because we are in the universe. And we should be trying to be universal man and universal woman, including white people, in a universe that none of us created. We have a creator of the universe. We should be in tune with everything that's constructive in that universe. In order to be that, we shouldn't be racist man and racist woman and their victims, which is what we've got. We should be universal man and universal woman, being collectively universal people. And what are universal people? People who practice justice. And what is justice? Guaranteeing that no person is mistreated, not for 5 minutes, and guaranteeing that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help. Emphasize guarantee and constructive help to achieve what? The most constructive results.
Absolutely.
In every move that we make.
Absolutely.
White, non-white, male, female, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Universal people.
Yes. Mr. Fuller, before we go, could you mention that again about this is not against all white people or whatever you said, just to be clear.
Not against white people at all.
Yeah,
it's for everybody being on the same page and doing what they should be doing, and that is guaranteeing that no person is mistreated, not for 3 seconds, and that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help at all times, in all things.
There you go.
In order to do what? Produce constructive results.
Okay.
Constructive results.
That's right. There you have it. Mr. Fuller made it very clear, as to what the purpose of this program is to be about. So we're getting ready to get out of here. Let me say this. Men, in particular, just for the men, if you haven't done this, do this. Go and get a prostate check. You need to do that. Health check anyway, but make sure you need to do that. Thank you for listening, everybody. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. Thank you, callers. Thank you, all the staff, the team, everybody. Sorry about all that other stuff, but thank you. Mr. Fuller, last word goes to you.
Watch your diet. Every person on the planet should be checking out the food that we eat and make sure we're not eating artificial food.
All righty. All righty. Thank you.